Among other things, the gospel is a story of what happens when people say yes or no to the Lord. When they say yes or no to His love and to His calling on their lives. When they say yes or no to the power of the Spirit that God would release upon us. And when we say yes to Him, it totally changes everything. We're going to see how that works today in the Scripture as we read the story of Pentecost when the Spirit was released in power on the church. And to help us understand what difference yes makes and how that works in our lives, we'll also read a very short parable of Jesus, just two lines from Matthew chapter 13. Let's pray together before we read God's Word. Holy Spirit, you inspired servants of Jesus long ago to write these words that we would be reading today. And we pray that you now would come and inspire us as we hear them and bring their truth and encouragement deep within our hearts. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." And then from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. I'd always heard that phrase and had no clue where it was from. Maybe you Jane Austen fans already knew. That's from Pride and Prejudice. Mr. Bingley had been courting Jane, and she had been hoping that he would propose, but of course, in that day and time, she was not about to bring up the subject of marriage. But when he did, when he brought it up, she knew what to say. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. It was an answer that just overflowed out of her heart in great joy. Now, in a culture so jaded as ours, we can read the story of that and it doesn't automatically connect. But stop and think. Think of all the hopes of a young woman in that time who wished to have someone love her. Someone who would love her in a way that would bring her heart alive. And even in our jaded age, we get that. We get that kind of hope. We naturally long for that kind of joy ourselves. And we would long for the thrill of our hearts spilling over into this, yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. Jesus came to a people who had always heard life say, no, no, 1,000 times no. Some of those no's had come through the cruelty of their Roman oppressors. Other no's came with medical conditions and a pre-medical world, conditions which would be simple enough to fix in our day. Some of the no's came with broken relationships, same kind of flavors that break our relationships, abuse, manipulation, resentment, selfishness. But most painfully, a lot of the no's came from their religious life because their religious leaders had taken the Old Testament law that God designed to show how life works, and they had amplified all of its no's until that was all that you could hear. No, no, no. Which kind of resonated in the hearts of those who tended toward no anyway. But for most people, it just drove them entirely away from the things of God. But when Jesus came, there was just something different about him. And the difference was, he was all about yes. And it's not that the no's of the world didn't have to be dealt with. Jesus would deal with them and deal with them most completely when he went to the cross. But he majored in yes. Yes in the way he encountered people and encouraged them. Yes in the way he taught. Yes in the way he lived. And his yes had a way of winning a yes from people who had become accustomed to no. Winning a yes in response to him. Like Peter. That's exactly what happened with Peter. In fact, I want to use Peter as our example this morning because we have so many stories in the gospel, in the book of Acts, of Peter responding to the Lord's goodness with yes. And it happened early on. Peter and his three fisher buddies encountered Jesus just briefly. They'd heard him say a little bit, seen him do a little bit, and then he spoke to them and said, "Follow me." And doggone if they didn't drop everything and do it. They said yes. There was something irresistible about this guy that called forth a yes from them. And that yes changed Peter's life. And it just grew from there. After a few months of Jesus teaching and demonstrating this great yes of the kingdom, he determined that the time was right to send Peter out along with the other disciples, send them out in pairs to spread the yes of the kingdom more broadly. And so he said to them, "I'm sending you out in twos to take the yes of the kingdom and bring my life and wholeness and freedom to people who desperately need it." And again, Peter said yes. He knew he was in over his head, but still he said yes. And sure enough, the Lord empowered him and his colleagues to go out and do what they didn't know they could do. They healed the sick. They delivered the demonized in the name of Jesus. They were getting in the name of Jesus to say yes in the same ways that Jesus said yes. Yes, that in ways that changed lives, and they were thrilled. You can read the account of them coming back and reporting to Jesus. They're just jumping up and down with excitement about what he had done through them. Then there was the time, some months later, when Peter and the others were out in the countryside with Jesus, and he was teaching, and the day grew late, and it was a good ways out in the countryside, and Jesus didn't want the people to have to make their way home without something to eat. And so he asked for some food to give to the people, and a little boy there had 5 loaves and 2 fish and really couldn't do the math in his head to realize that that's just nothing among so many people. But the disciples could do the math, and when Jesus broke these 5 loaves and 2 fish into little fragments and handed it to the disciples, I know that they were doing the math in their heads. How far is this going to go? But Peter said yes. Just started passing out these few fragments, and doggone if they didn't just keep going and keep going and keep going. And they fed 5,000 people and took up 12 baskets full of leftovers. And things like that just kept happening with Jesus and Peter. Every time Peter said yes, it was just like, holy mackerel, look at what Jesus did. Soon after, they were out on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm arose. It was at night. And this time, Jesus was not in the boat with them. A previous time when a storm rose, Jesus was in the boat. This time, he was not. But they were frightened again, and Jesus came walking toward them on the water, and as he came, they knew that they would be okay. And Peter was getting so swept up in the yeses of Jesus that just kind of out of the blue, Peter said, "Lord, if that's really you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, can you imagine saying that? I mean, can you just imagine saying that you're going to get out of the boat and walk on the water when you've never begun even to imagine that you could do that before? But Peter imagined it, and Jesus said, "Yes, come." And Peter did. How's that? For the yes of Jesus changing everything. Now, that's just some of the examples from Peter's life, but there are some other kinds of examples, too, to show us that the advance of Jesus, yes, in his life, didn't change everything at once. And so once when Jesus was teaching about how far he would go to take on the no of the world, that he would have to go all the way to the cross to break the power of no, Peter didn't understand what that was about. And he said, there's just no way that you can do that, Lord. And Jesus had to speak a hard no to Peter's no. He said, get behind me, Satan. But the hard no from Jesus was designed to bring Peter back to the place where he could again say yes. And then there was the worst no ever of Peter's life. It was on the night before Jesus went to the cross, when Peter was challenged by a servant girl. He said, aren't you one of his disciples? Big burly fisherman challenged by a servant girl. And he said, no. Even after all the yeses that Jesus had spoken to him and all the yeses Jesus had called forth from him in response, no was not entirely out of Peter. And up and out it came. And that's why the Lord of yes had to go all the way to the cross to break that lingering power of no in our hearts. It's because Jesus was intent on freeing us from that which squelches life, all the ways that the world would say no in us and that we would join in that word ourselves. Jesus was willing to take all of that upon himself, let it have its full impact upon him at the cross to break its power in our lives so that we would finally be free to join him in saying yes, yes, 1,000 times, yes. Now, before we go on to the crescendo of how this happened with the resurrection of Jesus, let's hear one of Jesus' own words that explains what he was up to. It was a word he spoke one day teaching about the kingdom, and he borrowed lots of images. They're pulled together in Matthew 13, a whole string of parables about the kingdom. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, the key for our understanding how this works in our hearts is that phrase, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has. Usually when we're after something, when we've got a goal and it's a little bit beyond us and we're pressing hard to attain it, we're not doing that with great joy. We're doing it with determination. Our jaw is set in determination, or maybe even clenched in resentment that we're having to give up so much to get that which we desire. And so we tell ourselves, I'll endure whatever I have to endure in order to get to my goal. That's not how the kingdom works. This kingdom is so good, its treasure of yes is so amazing that even with the life-changing imperatives that it brings, joy swells up in our hearts that we get to have that treasure. Did you notice that he sold everything he had out of joy? He was willing to unload it all because the joy was overflowing that he got to have the treasure. Yes, the kingdom is that good. The kingdom that Jesus gives is that good, bringing us to the place of overflowing joy where out of our hearts comes 1,000 times yes. Now that yes went over the top 3 days after Jesus went to the cross, the place of the world's biggest no, where he broke the power of that no by taking the consequence of it all upon himself. He breathed his last. He was laid in the tomb. But 3 days later, the king of the kingdom rose and stood alive, and his resurrection, yes, totally overwhelmed the no of this world. Yes to love. Love triumphed. Yes to the kingdom of God coming in this world. Yes to broken lives that would be restored with the coming of the king. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. It's the message of the gospel. The women saw him alive again. And then Peter and the other disciples saw him. Yes. They were able to say yes to each other. Yes, he rose. And he appeared to them again and again over the next 40 days, their risen Savior. But Jesus knew that even this was not enough, and that his people would need the yes of his abundance, not just something they heard about, but within them, that new life had to come within them, that new life had in the person of the Spirit to empower them, to come upon them with power, so that they could live into his yes, even in this world of no. So just before he ascended, Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And the Spirit will come and he will boost the yes of the kingdom into you to heights that you never imagined. So Peter and the others, 120 in all, did just that. Acts chapter 1 tells us that they kept meeting over the next 10 days. They'd come together in an upper room to pray, and they'd pray all day. And the next day the same. 10 days to think about all the ways they had continued to live in the no when Jesus had brought the yes, and to repent. 10 days to have the Lord stoke their appetite for something more. Something more even than their Savior risen. More of Him, more of His promises, more coming alive from within them. That was the appetite that the Lord stoked within them, so that on that 50th day after the resurrection, 10 days after they began to pray, on that Pentecost day, the Spirit fell. And in a way that just blew them away with the wind and set them aflame with fire. The goodness of God that they'd seen in Jesus, that they'd seen impact so many lives, now had come upon them. The Lord Almighty had said to them, had spoken into them, yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. And it was so over the top that their native tongues would not suffice to praise the Lord, and so they spilled over into languages they didn't even know. But the basic translation is not hard to imagine. They were saying yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes in praise to the Lord. Yes to His love. Yes to His life-changing power. Yes to the power that would enable them to carry this kingdom treasure into the world. Peter was there. And all of the ways that the yes had impacted him had just begun when the Spirit filled him and empowered him to go forth. And so the yes became 1,000 times yes in Peter, just almost immediately. I mean, look what happened just later that same day. Look on down the page in Acts chapter 2. Peter, the guy who was afraid to say yes when asked by a servant girl, aren't you one of his followers? He stood before thousands of people. That very day he stood before thousands of people and spoke to them of Jesus, and 3,000 people came to know the Lord. Yes, yes, 3,000 times yes in the power and presence of the Spirit. And then, flip over another couple of chapters, Acts chapter 4. The Lord had more. Peter and John had been going into the temple. They saw a man who'd been lame from birth. They spoke to him in the name of Jesus. He got up. His legs were healed. He walked for the first time ever. And that led to Peter and John being in trouble with the authorities. There's a long story there. But at the end of that, late in chapter 4, they've been released by the authorities. They come to report what God has done to their friends in Christ who'd been praying for them. And they got to tell about this 1,000 times, yes, experience of speaking to this man and the way Jesus had spoken and seeing him stand up and how the Lord had orchestrated their release from the authorities. The Lord had done it again, and doggone if he didn't do Pentecost again. Right there in chapter 4, you see the Spirit fall again upon the same people that he'd fallen upon before. There's more. Always there is more with the Lord. Yes, yes, a thousand times yes. More, more, a thousand times more. So it is throughout the course of our lives. One more snippet from Peter's life as an example. Some months later, the Spirit arranged a meeting between Peter and a Gentile leader named Cornelius. It's a long story. It's in Acts chapter 10. I would encourage you to go and read the details yourself. But here's what was up. The Lord had begun to speak His yes into this broken world with His chosen people, the Jews. But His design was to speak it to everyone, to break out of that one people, the Jews, to speak to Gentiles as well. And this is where it launched in full, with Cornelius. And so Peter, directed by God, comes to Cornelius' house to tell him about this Lord Jesus, the one who speaks yes. And he's just ready to begin preaching about it when the Spirit falls. Peter hadn't even gotten to the altar call, much less praying for the Holy Spirit to come. And the Spirit just trumped him in the moment, poured out upon not just Peter and his Jewish Christian friends, but upon the Gentiles. It totally blew Peter's mind. Except that the Lord had been blowing his mind all along. And the way he said yes always went beyond what Peter had expected. You see in the pattern here? Over and over and over and again in Peter's life, there's this yes spoken by Jesus that then comes to live within Peter, that then empowers Peter to live in the way of Jesus in the world, that spreads the yes of the kingdom and its joy to others. This is the pattern. It works differently in each life. It's different in each of our lives. We each have our own individual story, but this is the pattern. That the Lord Jesus has spoken a word to us. The word of yes. Yes, I love you. Yes, I've died for you. Yes, I've risen for you. Yes, you have new life in me. Yes, I've called you to be my own. Yes, I want to empower you to serve me in ways that are beyond you. Not just once, but over and over again, He empowers us in this way. I know it because I've read it, but I've experienced it as well. I've shared my story with many of you that the two most significant experiences, Pentecost kinds of experiences for me, filling with the Spirit experiences, happened 42 years apart in my life. When I was 18 and when I was 60. That's crazy. But it's a Jesus kind of crazy. It's the same kind of crazy He's working in your life. Always there is more. More, more, a thousand times more, so that we can be the people who say yes, yes, a thousand times yes, in the power of the Spirit, bringing the very life of Jesus with us to a world that's desperate to hear that word. Are you ready for more of that? I want to pray with you in just a moment, but I want to do it in the midst of our hymn. I want us to sing this hymn, and then we'll ask Linus to just keep playing it a little bit. I'm going to pray. And I want you to sing with a yes to the Lord. And then as I pray, continue to say yes. And in the way designed for each of us, but according to the pattern of the Scripture, He has more. More of His yes, more of His Spirit's power to pour into you. And then we'll come back and sing the first verse again. So let's stand and sing and be in response to the Lord.